In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A very blessed Easter to everyone gathered here this morning in prayer. A particular word of blessing to those who are visiting with us here at the Oratory of Saints Gregory and Augustine. Please know that you are always welcome to be with us and to pray with us. While I'm not necessarily a fan of the internet or of YouTube, it does periodically provide an opportunity to look into the mind of the world in which we live. Particularly, it seems, during these seasons of Lent and now this great season of Easter, where a great many of my brother priests become superstars, filming themselves and then placing all of their various liturgical realities and events for everyone to actually see. I don't begrudge them their desire for their 15 minutes of fame. But what I do find interesting is, across the board, and this is no offense against my brothers, when they speak about the things of God, even today, the glories of the Lord's resurrection, oftentimes it's around sentiment and a lot of emotion, as if somehow they can produce in us, engender in us, that real feeling that we should actually have about the mystery of the resurrection. You feel good. Lots of joy, joy, joy down in my heart. That is what YouTube will communicate to us, is what we are celebrating today. And indeed, it is a day of great joy. But if what we celebrate here in the glories of the resurrection is reduced to mere sentiment, if it's reduced to mere emotion, then we truly are missing what it is that actually has happened to us. And there is a wisdom that the church gives us these 50 days of the Easter season to the Lord and to the glories of Pentecost, to contemplate what it is that actually has happened. And therein lies the key. Contemplation. Beyond understanding. Beyond emotion. Beyond feeling. And again, those things aren't bad. Emotion, understanding, and feeling. But this is something much greater. It takes time for us to contemplate it. And in truth, the 50 days provided to us aren't nearly enough. It is a lifetime to contemplate what it is that God has done for us. God became man. And that in and of itself would have been sufficient. If we had asked any more, demanded any more from him, we would have been churlish and ungrateful for God becoming one with us in all things but sin. But knowing from the beginning of time how all of this would play itself out, our Heavenly Father had prepared by sending us the gift of His Son, the perfect reconciliation, sealing us once and for all in this intimate relationship between us and our Heavenly Father, sealed in the blood of our Lord and Savior. He knew what would transpire, and we did not. Who could ever have thought or contemplated in 1,000,000,000 lifetimes that not only would God come among His creation, that He would take on the form of His creation, that He would submit to the indignity of His creation, but then He would give His life in ransom in exchange for our own, that He would shed His blood and allow His body to be broken and scourged, to be mocked and ridiculed, and to do all of that, brothers and sisters, out of love for each of us. If you think you might have thought of this, then you are a much better person than I, and the millions upon millions of people who have gone before us. And so what does one do when one truly understands what it is we have been gifted with and the graces that have been bestowed upon us? It is to sit and contemplate and to allow the mystery and the joys that come from contemplating these mysteries to truly rest over us, to wash over us. There certainly isn't anything wrong with the feelings that should be inside of us at this moment, that new life has been given to me, to us. You have been transformed in Christ Jesus. You are a new creation, and all of your sins now are wiped clean, and you can live rightly in and with the sight of God. These are things, brothers and sisters, beyond our comprehension, beyond our imagining, and yet they are real and true. God has given Himself to us, and He's fulfilled and made full this gift of Himself by dying, that we might have new life. What will happen to us throughout this Easter season, as we will listen again and again to the birth of Holy Mother Church as she continues to grow and understand truly what has happened to her. We are being provided an opportunity to do the same. In some ways, the confusion of the women, the terror that they must have experienced to not only find the stone unrolled, but to find this man dressed in white saying that Jesus had risen. It would have terrified them. But we know they went and did what they were commanded to do, because Peter and John and James will come and they will bend down and they will peer in, and they too will be at times confused and terrified because this is overwhelming. God, who is indeed tremendous, has accomplished something beyond our understanding, beyond any desire that we might have. He has conquered death, which we introduced into the world. He has conquered death once and for all. Your contemplation then should lead to joy and a disposition of gratitude. And yet again, a rededication of yourself to all of the ways that you can continue to strengthen yourself in this bond of blood in which we have been forged. The Lenten disciplines that we undertook to prepare ourselves for where we find ourselves at this moment should not be dispensed with, but now should be transformed. No longer are they sacrificial offerings to expiate sin. Now we enter into the disciplines as a way of understanding how we can strengthen our relationship with God. Don't put them aside. Continue to practice them, but let your reason for practicing them be transformed. Sadness and sorrow and sacrifice, not gone, but now overshadowed and made proper in our understanding by the glories of the resurrection. I continue to do all those things that allow my heart to be open to God, to draw myself into what it is that God has accomplished for us. So we will all disperse from this place of prayer with our hearts full of joy and gratitude. And there will come a time, as we will hear in sacred scripture, that we will go forth rejoicing and be glad that we have been found worthy to suffer in the name of the Lord. And indeed, that suffering will continue. But now we know something about the suffering that we must endure. And we know something about those who inflict the suffering upon us, that there is one greater who makes sense of our suffering and gives us new and everlasting life. There's no fear or doubt or terror or trepidation. There is no worry or anxiety any longer. God has dispelled all of that. Darkness has given way to light, and death has been overshadowed by death itself and the new life that has been wrought upon the cross. Will also be incumbent upon all of you is like the women who went to anoint our body, to take this good news and to share it with all those you hear. You might be with family today who, for them, this is simply another Sunday, no different than the one before or the one next. What a wonderful opportunity to remind them, even if they themselves do not understand or do not want to, remind them of the life that has been given to them. The very fact that they can reject God is God's gift to them. As strange as that may be, it is the new life that God bestows upon us that gives us the freedom ultimately to choose Him. But even if they choose not, it is what God has accomplished that has allowed all of this to be real and true and present to us. And so let us give thanks, and let us rejoice, and let us truly feel deeply that which God has blessed us with. Let us also spend the necessary time, the necessary days, the necessary lifetime to contemplate the glories that have been given to us. The Lord indeed has risen, as He Himself said that He would. In our Lord who is alive, let us rejoice and be glad. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.